This Organized Chaos video is brought to you by GEMS Art Studio. GEMS Art Studio is an online store that allows access to prints that you can use for most anything, obviously as just a picture, or as a wallpaper, or as a bookmark, or anything you can think of. You can find GEMS Art Studio at Etsy.com/shop/GEMS Art Studio. This video is also brought to you by viewers like you. Thank you. In the past few years, there has been an examination in our society of behaviors of powerful people and how they negatively impact the world. Perhaps the first big one that hit me was Bill Cosby. My father introduced me to his comedy albums, and I listened to them on an old vinyl player and thought it was some of the funniest shit I'd ever heard in my life. And let's face it, he's a funny guy. His stand-up is absolute gold. Unfortunately, he's also an absolute monster. He has been accused by over 60 women of rape. His favorite activity seemed to be drugging the women and having sex with them while they are asleep.
Spanish Fly was the thing that all boys from age 11 on up to death, we will still be searching for Spanish Fly.
That's right.
And what was the old story was, if you took a little drop, no, it was on the head of a
pin.
And
drop
put it
in a Coca-Cola.
Drink.
Don't matter.
It doesn't make it. And the girl would drink it. And
she's yours.
Hello, America.
We've been seeing a lot of this. The reveal of child sex seller Jeffrey Epstein and how people like Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Kevin Spacey, and Chris Tucker were all known to have visited him. But there are also more minor offenses, and I stress the word minor because these are still a big deal, just minor in looking at everything as a whole. Like those of Louis C.K., he would invite women to his room and ask them if he could masturbate in front of them. He would only do so with their permission. But it was also clear they knew he was a man of some power and authority and feared what he would do should they say no. Then we have Joss Whedon, easily one of my all-time favorite creators. I am literally a fan of every single thing he's produced. Hell, I even enjoy the original Buffy movie that he reportedly hates. He even now has a new TV series called The Nevers. It could best be described as steampunk X-Men, and it's awesome. No, Whedon has not been accused of anything nearly as bad as anyone I've already gone over, but what has been said about him isn't good. My goal here is to simply look at the accusations and perhaps ask the question as to why so many men in powerful positions seem so willing to abuse it so freely. Looking into Joss Whedon, there are three major accusers against his behavior right now, and some people who back those accusers. The three biggest ones are Ray Fisher, Charisma Carpenter, and his ex-wife, Kai Cole. In order to get the full picture, we're going to go over as much as possible to get a clear idea of the full extent of Whedon's issues. After which, I'll attempt to piece everything together in an attempt to figure out what type of person Whedon is. The first person we're going to talk about is Ray Fisher. He played Cyborg in Justice League and quite frankly does an amazing job in that movie. Bear with me here. I'm going to take you on the same journey I went through on Ray Fisher's Twitter to get his full story as much as possible. It will take a while. Ray Fisher began his attack on Whedon, where most everything happens anymore. Twitter.
Joss is a great guy and Zach picked a good person to come in and clean up and finish up for him.
He tweeted a copy of this video saying, "I'd like to take a moment to forcefully retract every bit of this statement." He posted that on June 29th, 2020. He followed up with another tweet on July 1st saying, "Joss Whedon's on-set treatment of the cast and crew of Justice League was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. He was enabled, in many ways, by Geoff Johns and John Berg. Accountability greater than entertainment." Kevin Smith reinforced, saying, "I remember when I went to the Skywalker set. Some people had worked on both versions of Solo and both versions of Justice League. The special effects guy said there was a fair amount of trashing Zack's version of the movie on set by Joss, that Whedon would cut down, dismiss, and be negative about Zack's version, which he had seen and all these people had made together without him." This encouraged Jeff Pruitt, who worked on the first four seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to speak out on his experiences with Joss. He went from a humble writer who used to turn to me for ways to shoot fight scenes into a real egomaniac who believed his own hype. Then again, maybe he was always that way, and I was simply too naive to see it, as he never showed that side to me before. We'd always support each other. Sophia Crawford, who had also worked on Buffy, added, "I really loved Buffy, but honestly, Joss and Jeff had a bit of a falling out, and I'm sure it should have been resolved, could have been resolved, if they had just talked it over." I would like to add that if it could have been worked out, it was Whedon's responsibility as the guy in charge to instigate such a resolution. Ray Fisher added on July 31st, "I understand full well the personal and professional risk associated with my speaking out against the abhorrent behavior of Joss Whedon and his enablers, Jeff Johns and John Berg. I will not relent. This is good trouble, necessary trouble. Accountability greater than entertainment." On August 12th, 2020, he added, "During the LA reshoots for Justice League, Jeff Johns summoned me to his office to belittle and admonish my and my agent's attempts to take grievances up in the proper chain of command. He then made a thinly veiled threat to my career. This behavior cannot continue. A greater than E." On August 20th, "After 5 weeks of interviews with various cast and crew, Warner Media has officially launched an independent third-party investigation to get to the heart of the toxic, abusive work environment created during the Justice League reshoots. This is a massive step forward. I believe this investigation will show that Jeff Johns, Joss Whedon, John Berg, and others grossly abused their power during the uncertainty of AT&T's merger with Time Warner. Thank you, Warner Media and AT&T, for making strides to ensure a safer workplace for all. A greater than E." On September 2nd, "Perhaps after we laid this investigation to rest, I know one thing, though. Hollywood would never be the same. At John Boyega. Accountability greater than entertainment." On September 4th, "So you can better understand how deep this goes, after speaking out about Justice League, I received a phone call from the president of DC Films, wherein he attempted to throw Joss Whedon and John Berg under the bus in the hopes that I would relent on Jeff Johns. I will not. A greater than E." On September 5th, "Thank you all for the support and for seeing through WB Pictures' desperate and scattershot attempt to discredit me to continue protecting those in power. I met with the investigator via Zoom on August 26th. Below is an email I sent to my team and SAG immediately afterwards. It's also worth noting that I made it clear to the world on August 21st that I would be vetting the investigator to ensure a fair and protected process for all witnesses. WB Pictures has escalated this into an entirely different level, but I'm ready to meet the challenge. A greater than E." This tweet set included an image of a note and a video, neither of which provide new information. On September 7th, "It really is a shame that WB Pictures willfully chose to publicly undermine the seriousness of the toxicity and abuse that myself and others have reported to WB, HR, and labor relations. They tried to minimize me as an actor with petty creative differences. They failed. A greater than E." Also on September 7th, "Let's go. Hashtag BorgLife. Accountability greater than entertainment." This included a link to Jason Momoa's Instagram. The specific post doesn't appear on Momoa's account anymore. As far as I can tell, it was simply a picture of Ray Fisher with the hashtag #IStandWithRayFisher. Other people also voiced their support for Ray Fisher. On September 14th, Jason Momoa said the following on Instagram. "This shit has to stop and needs to be looked at. Ray Fisher and everyone else who experienced what happened under the watch of WB Pictures needs proper investigation. I just think it's fucked up that people released a fake Frosty announcement without my permission to try to distract from Ray Fisher speaking up about the shitty way we were treated on Justice League reshoots. Serious stuff went down. It needs to be investigated, and people need to be held accountable. Hashtag I stand with Ray Fisher. Aloha, Jay." On September 14th, Ray Fisher tweets, "To date, the independent firm hired by WB Pictures has conveniently avoided contacting key witnesses who gave damning statements to WBHR. They've also started interviews with, and have since ghosted, witnesses that have implicated former and current top-level executives. Others, including an implicated individual that called me to apologize, have already been interviewed. We will not let any investigator cherry-pick interviewees that best suit WB Pictures' false narrative and scapegoating efforts. All with stories will be heard. A greater than E." He also shared Jason Momoa's Instagram story with the message, "If you still think Jason playing Frosty was ever a real thing, please wake up. Hopefully now people see the depths that some are willing to go to hide the truth. To think they believed my brother would sell out the cast crew of Justice League for a corncob pipe and a button nose. A greater than E." On September 15th, he says, "Unfortunately, the fake Frosty news with Jason wasn't the only PR tactic used to distract from the seriousness of the Justice League situation. Ben returning as Batman was clearly meant to be revealed at DC Fandom. I'll give you one guess as to why WB Pictures likely jumped the gun. A greater than E. Saying that he believes WB is trying to cover up his story by creating new headlines, a common tactic for big businesses. On September 16th, getting tagged in a trash article, $0. Being able to watch that article get universally flamed more easily because you were tagged. Priceless. A greater than E. On September 18th, due to the purposeful lack of transparency and in some cases blatant lies on the part of WB Pictures and the third-party firm hired by them to investigate Justice League, an official request for a change of investigator has been made of Warner Media. So, as to protect the witnesses involved and the information they possess, I strongly encourage any and all who have been contacted by the current investigator to respectfully decline to interview until a truly independent third party is engaged by Warner Media. A greater than E. On September 22nd, progress, accountability greater than entertainment. With this, he shares a Hollywood Reporter article. In it, Jason Kilner and Ann Sackhoff show concern in memos about bad behavior on their shows, including The Ellen DeGeneres Show, TMZ, and others, and how they feel this needs to be changed. On September 23rd, it would appear that WB Pictures has gone from giving libelous official statements to one media outlet to becoming a source of purposeful misinformation for another. The people are on to you. The investigation is coming. Casting aspersions on me will not change that. A greater than E. On October 3rd, he shared a Deadline article. The article is about Susan Steen, who was a marketing executive at Warner Brothers, who claims that she was sexually harassed by the company. On October 13th, what complicates the situation with Joss Whedon and Geoff Johns is that appropriate action wasn't taken with them in real time. As a result, they were allowed to spread to WB Pictures' sister companies. It's a tricky knot, but we will untie it. Accountability greater than entertainment. On October 29th, he shared a Forbes article. It is an interview with him. The article largely does a retelling of what he posted on Twitter, but does have some new information from Fisher. Apparently, WB told him that Joss Whedon was chosen by Zack Snyder to finish the film for him while he left to tend to his family issues. This was a lie, and the studio chose Whedon to take over the movie and in many ways remake it in more his style. On November 2nd, my team and I have been in contact with Forbes regarding the unorthodox changes that were made to their October 29th article written by Serez Farquad, a name that I'm certain I'm pronouncing correctly. Even more concerning is that Serez is now listed as a former contributor. I will personally be getting to the bottom of this. Later in the day, any publication would be beyond lucky to have Serez Farquad on their staff. When I start talking Justice League specifics, he will be the first and probably only person I call. One of these other trades better pick him up ASAP, trust me. A greater than E. On November 25th, I have no intention of allowing Joss Whedon to use the old Hollywood tactic of exiting, stepping down, or walking away to cover for his terrible behavior. Warner Media's Justice League investigation has been in full swing for over 3 weeks now. This is undoubtedly a result of it. A greater than E. This is a reference to Whedon stepping down from the Nevers. On December 11th, the following was relayed to me on behalf of Warner Media at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today. The investigation of Justice League is now complete. It has led to remedial action, some we've seen and some that is still to come. In this statement, which truly belongs to all who participate in the investigation, Warner Media appreciates you having the courage to come forward and assist the company with creating an inclusive and equitable work environment for its employees and partners. There is still conversations that need to be had and resolutions that need to be found. Thank you all for your support and encouragement on this journey. We are on our way. More soon. A greater than E. On December 12th, over 80 people were interviewed for Warner Media's Justice League investigation. A fair, thorough, and protected process for witnesses was the first and most important step. Ensuring that action is taken is the next. Thank you to all who lent their voice. A greater than E. On December 30th, Walter Hamada is the most dangerous kind of enabler. He lies. And WB's failed September 4th hit piece sought to undermine the very real issues of the Justice League investigation. I will not participate in any production associated with him. A greater than E. On January 2nd, some folks out there think it's cool to belittle food service workers in an attempt to mock my speaking out about Walter Hamada, Joss Whedon, Toby Emmerich, Jeff Johns, and John Berg. There is zero shame in keeping people fed. I'd go back to food service in a heartbeat. A greater than E. On January 5th, it's weird how these reactionary announcements from WB Pictures always forget to mention that Walter Hamada was working directly with Jeff Johns and Toby Emmerich on Shazam during Justice League reshoots. More soon. A greater than E. Hashtag Walter New. On January 7th, I strongly suggest the Wrap amend this article immediately. While I do appreciate the reporter's undying desire to do WB Pictures and Walter Hamada's bidding, it is factually inaccurate. I did not publicly step down from anything. If WB Pictures has made the decision to remove me from The Flash, rather than address it in any way, Walter Hamada tampering with Justice League investigation, that's on them. The idea of removing the role, rather than recasting it, is only being used to try to avoid public backlash. The WB Pictures PR team has struggled to regain control of the narrative ever since they failed to bury me in the Justice League investigation with their September 4th hit piece, which, unsurprisingly, was written by the same reporter. More on WBPR and Joanna Fuentes later. The fact is, the Justice League investigation led to Warner Media and its affiliates parting ways with Joss Whedon. Jeff Johns will follow suit. Had Walter Hamada gotten his way, none of that would have been possible and the cycle of abuse would have continued. My team and I are still in deep conversation with Warner Media regarding these matters, and, Flash or no Flash, we fully intend to see this through. I'll keep you all posted, but in the meantime, thank you for your continued support. A greater than E. On January 8th, sir, you understand full well the difference between will be following suit and has followed suit. While I found the recent Leonard Roberts piece you helped create to be insightful and important, this purposely misleading Variety headline and article is everything but. A greater than E. This is in response to a Variety article noting that Jeff Johns is still working at Warner Media. On January 13th, please read A greater than E. Attached was a statement about his removal from the future Flash movie. He talks about his ill experiences with Joss Whedon, Jeff Johns, and John Berg, and how Walter Hamada was willing to throw Whedon and Berg under the bus, but ignored Jeff Johns, and how Fisher is unwilling to work under DC as long as Walter Hamada is involved. On January 14th, A greater than E, attaching an article revealing more issues at Warner Media. Here's a clip from my final conversation with the Warner Media's independent investigator on December 11, 2020. Hopefully it lends itself to the truth of the investigation and to the credibility of my current claims against Walter Hamada's dangerous behavior. A greater than E. Here's a copy of that clip.
I know that this is a very time-consuming process, and I know this has not been an easy one by any means. And if ever there were any points in time where I seemed defensive or please.
Ray, you've been a gentleman. You've been a gentleman, and I'll say you've been a man of your word. And that is what we have reported to the company, which is that you told us you would give us names. You gave us names. You told us you would meet with us on a particular day at a particular time. You never tried to reschedule it. You met us. You even gave us information after that. You've been a man of your word. You are someone that we have found extremely credible. And the fact that you risked so much is part of what lends itself to your credibility. The facts speak for themselves.
On January 22nd, Walter Hamada still owes an apology to those who participate in the Justice League investigation, A greater than E. On February 9th, Walter Hamada still owes an apology to the participants of the Justice League investigation, A greater than E. On February 10th, Charisma Carpenter is one of the bravest people I know. I am forever grateful for her courage, for her lending her voice to the Justice League investigation. Read her truth. Share her truth. Protect her at all costs. It is time. A greater than E. Hashtag ICFCharisma. This is in response to the document she released on her treatment by Joss Whedon during her time on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, a document I will get to later. Also, on February 10th, hashtag I stand with Amber Benson, hashtag I stand with Charisma Carpenter, A greater than E. This will also be covered with Charisma Carpenter later. On February 11th, what makes Walter Amada the most dangerous kind of enabler is his willingness to blindly cover for his colleagues. Had he succeeded in discouraging the Justice League investigation, we would not be here. He owes Charisma Carpenter and every other participant an apology. A greater than E. On February 13th, LA Times and Christy Karras, please amend this article immediately. I never declined to reprise my role in The Flash. WB Pictures chose to remove the role from the film rather than address Walter Hamada's attempt to interfere with the Justice League investigation. A greater than E. To this point, I do feel Fisher needs to clarify. Based on what he made public, it seems likely he declined to take part in The Flash as long as Walter Hamada was involved with DC. If that's it, then he did indeed decline his role. He just has his reasons. If there is something more, it would be good to know. On February 15th, there is only one reason that I haven't been sued by Joss Whedon, Toby Emmerich, Jeff Johns, John Berg, or Walter Hamada. They know I'm telling the truth. A greater than E. On February 17th, I appreciate the support, Dino Ray. Please use your power to ensure that Deadline commits to reporting these issues fairly and thoroughly. A greater than E. This is in response to a tweet where journalist Dino Ray DeBarge stated his support for Fisher. On February 18th, thank you, A greater than E. Attached was Christy Karras' statement saying that the LA Times was fixing their story. On February 19th, today would be a great day for Walter Hamada to apologize to the participants of the Justice League investigation, A greater than E. On February 23rd, folks will be anxious to let Kevin Tishara and Joss Whedon take the fall for everything to do with Justice League. Both have been publicly disgraced and make for easy targets. Please, don't be fooled. Toby Emmerich, Jeff Johns, and John Berg share direct responsibility, A greater than E. On February 25th, the fact that so many participants of WarnerMedia's Justice League investigation are having to out themselves in order for abusers of power to be held accountable is disgraceful. Neandra Tucker must be heard and protected. Pass it on, A greater than E, hashtag I stand with Neandra Tucker, as a response to Neandra Tucker speaking out against WarnerMedia. On February 27th, do y'all remember that time when Walter Hamada and WB Pictures tried to destroy Black Man's credibility and publicly delegitimize a very serious investigation with lies in the press? But hey, Black Superman, A greater than E. This is in response that Warner Brothers is working on a Superman reboot with a Black Superman. Also, as I've said from the start, Walter Hamada attempted to interfere with the Justice League investigation. He was unsuccessful in doing so because I did not allow him to. Having the investigator make a statement claiming there is no interference is purposely misleading and desperate. A greater than E. He also retweeted one of his posts from September 4th that I've already gone over. On March 2nd, please read A greater than E. Include is an image with the following message. Prior to the Justice League reshoots of 2017, racially discriminatory conversations were had and entertained on multiple occasions by Warner Brothers Pictures executives Toby Emmerich, Jeff Johns, and John Berg. Had I been aware of those conversations in real time, I would have addressed them in real time. However, it wasn't until the summer of 2020 that individuals who were in those meetings felt comfortable sharing with me what they had witnessed firsthand. When it comes to matters involving race, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt to those who may be ignorant of their own biases. But when you have studio executives, particularly Jeff Johns, saying, "We can't have an angry Black man at the center of the movie," and then those executives use all their power to reduce and remove all Black people from that movie, they are no longer entitled to any benefit associated with doubt. Toby, Jeff, and John were not ignorant of their biases. They understood full well that the racist rhetoric they chose to entertain in those meetings was offensive, discriminatory, and unacceptable. Furthermore, they dared not speak those things to me nor any other Black person associated with the film. Instead, they chose the cowardly route of gaslighting, complete with extremely problematic requests such as asking me to play Cyborg like Quasimodo and forcing a scene to be reshot so they could highlight the existence of Cyborg's penis. Unfortunately, those were just some of the issues. We now know that the leadership at Warner Brothers lied to the cast and crew of Justice League and to the world about Zack Snyder picking Joss Whedon to finish the film. The truth will continue to reveal itself, and as it does, there will likely be attempts to shift blame completely onto Kevin Tishara and Joss Whedon. But make no mistake, Geoff Johns worked intimately with Joss to overhaul the entire Justice League script. And while Geoff was not credited as a co-writer of the film, he was certainly an enforcer of the race-based discrimination that occurred during his conversations with Toby and John. Zack Snyder's Justice League stands as proof of, and opposition to, that discrimination. I am indebted to the participants of the Justice League investigation. They have put themselves at great risk to share the truth. I owe it to them. I owe it to my peers in this industry. And I owe it to all the black people who stay the course. Onward, gratefully, Ray, A greater than E. P.S. Walter Hamada owes an apology to the participants of the Justice League investigation. It does not matter how strong your opinions are. If you don't use your power for positive change, you are indeed part of the problem. Coretta Scott King. On March 4th, Charisma Carpenter hits every single one of these nails on the head. Give this a read, y'all. I'm proud to know you, Charisma. A greater than E. Included is an article shared by Charisma Carpenter where she goes over her issues. On March 11th, I understand why you may feel obligated to defend the Hollywood Reporter, but the information you're presenting is misleading. What you have chosen to highlight with regard to Kersey is coming from the reporter at Vanity Fair. It is not a quote from Zack Snyder. Please stop. A greater than E. The tweet he is replying to is unavailable, but it seems as though it was reported that Zack Snyder cut Kersey Clemons, aka Iris West, from the Justice League. And Fisher is trying to set the record straight. We've seen the Snyder Cut now. We know the truth there. On March 21st, Zack Snyder's Justice League stands as proof of, in opposition to, that discrimination. A greater than E. On March 22nd, apparently some folks at Warner Media think that a room full of executives saying we can't have an angry black man at the center of the movie, and then reducing removing all black and people of color from that movie isn't racist. Odd. The investigator hired by Warner Media was brought on to help the company assess and evade legal liabilities, continually touting her status as a former federal judge in an attempt to sway public opinion is obvious and desperate. She is now simply a lawyer. As I've said, people will attempt to shift blame completely to Joss Whedon for the Justice League reshoots. Toby Emmerich, Geoff Johns, and John Berg share in that responsibility, with Johns working directly with Joss on reconstructing the script based on the executives' conversations. Furthermore, there really was nothing that Walter did against Ray. In fact, he offered him a role in the Flash movie. And Walter happens to be a person of color, so he knows what that feels like. Are the absolute definition of tone deaf. Final thought for now. Rather than trying to convince people on what the Justice League investigation didn't find, how about start telling them what it did? The public is a lot smarter than what you're giving them credit for. The proof is there. More soon. A greater than E. On March 23rd, I bet they did. A greater than E. In response to Warner refusing to respond to Fisher's tweets. On March 29th, Toby Emmerich, Geoff Johns, and John Berg's racist and discriminatory conversations were major factors in the disparities. I may not like Joss Whedon, but I refuse to let him take sole responsibility. A greater than E. On April 6th, I appreciate Geoff Johns bringing on a crisis team to try to explain away his discriminatory behavior, but his excuses are weak. If Geoff believed fans expected Superman's grandfather to look like a young Henry Cavill, then why was he okay with Zod not resembling Michael Shannon? They didn't want an angry black man. They end up with a motivated one. I'm not going anywhere. Accountability greater than entertainment. On April 19th, now if we could just get Walter Hamada to announce an apology to the participants of the Justice League investigation. A greater than E. In response to the WB announcing that The Flash had begun filming. On April 20th, how fucking dare you, Warner Media? Oh, now I'm pissed. In response to Warner's response to George Floyd's verdict. On April 21st, they let Chisara step down. They allowed Whedon to exit. They've closed ranks to protect Emmerich, Johns, and Hamada. They've admitted to publicly releasing false information and refused to apologize. Accountability is not Warner Media's strong suit. Onward. A greater than E. On May 5th, I usually have to tweet before WB Pictures will release this kind of performative info. Notice how no one from the studio wanted their name on the piece. Hiring more black people doesn't negate or erase the terrible way you've treated your black employees. Just apologize. A greater than E. This is in response to a Hollywood Reporter article about how Warner says they are dedicated to hiring a black director for the new Superman movie. Also, just a heads up to Netflix and whoever else may be concerned, I will continue to pursue accountability from Toby Emmerich wherever he may land. A greater than E. On May 6th, The irony of Walter Amada's situation is that in his attempt to protect Geoff Johns, he was hoping to move beyond the drama of Justice League. Instead, he landed himself right in the middle of it, A greater than E, on May 8th. And to think, WB Pictures let Joss Whedon walk away and become a liability for their sister corporation. Walter Amada was aware of Joss's behavior, and he still tried to dissuade me from pursuing an investigation. His reason? He knew Emmerich and Johns would be implicated. A greater than E. On May 10th, this is probably a good time to reiterate that Geoff Johns threatened my career during the Justice League reshoots. A greater than E. On May 18th, aren't you the same head of global comms that, among other things, was responsible for WB Pictures' September 4th hit piece on me? I haven't had a chance to explain the role you played in the Justice League investigation yet, but we'll certainly get there, Joanna Fuentes. A greater than E. Seemingly accusing Joanna Fuentes of instigating a hit piece against him. He's still post about this, and anything he posts after I record, I'll put in the video here in post. This is a lot to wade through. It does tell a story, it just isn't a story as clear as we'd like. Putting this together as well as I can, Fisher levied his non-specific allegations on Whedon through Twitter, recanting what he said in that Comic-Con video. According to Fisher, WB conducted an independent investigation into these matters. A few months into this, towards the end of the investigation, Whedon formally stepped down from his show. This tells me that Fisher's allegations are likely true. However, he continues to go after people like Geoff Johns, Walter Amada, Toby Emmerich, and John Berg, stating they are the real problem, seeming to indicate that Whedon was a lesser abuser and one the studio was comfortable with dumping. Fisher has been silent on any specific allegations. There are exactly two reasons that this may happen. Number one, the studio has directed him to be silent about specifics in term for guaranteed work from them or a cash settlement. He believes perhaps the studio will change and that he'll continue to get work from them. The thing that his silence on specifics tells us is that he hopes the studio will give him something. Whether it be work or perhaps protection for another party is unclear. He still regularly puts them on blast. So either he has a deal for work that they cannot break, or he's just really hopeful that his persistent vague tweets will change the company. I believe Fisher truly did suffer under Whedon and those Justice League reshoots, but it is also clear that he wants something from the company. So he is the loudest anti-Whedon voice by far, but he is also the least clear in his issues and his goals. However, we did get some specifics inspired by Fisher. Actress Charisma Carpenter, who worked with Whedon on both Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, eventually released a statement of her own on Twitter on February 10, 2021 about Whedon. It read, "For nearly two decades, I have held my tongue and even made excuses for certain events that traumatize me to this day. Joss Whedon abused his power on numerous occasions while working together on the sets of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. While he found his misconduct amusing, it only served to intensify my performance anxiety, disempower me, and alienate me from my peers. The disturbing incidents triggered a chronic physical condition from which I still suffer. It is a beating heavy heart that I say I coped in isolation and at times destructively. Last summer, when Ray Fisher publicly accused Joss of abusive and unprofessional behavior towards the cast and crew during the reshoots on the Justice League set in 2017, it gutted me. Joss has a history of being casually cruel. He has created hostile and toxic work environments since his early career. I know because I experienced it firsthand, repeatedly, like his ongoing passive-aggressive threats to fire me, which wreaks havoc on a young actor's self-esteem, and callously calling me fat to colleagues when I was 4 months pregnant, weighing 126 pounds. He was mean and biting, disparaging about others openly, and often played favorites, pitting people against one another to compete and buy for his attention and approval. He called me in for a sit-down meeting to interrogate and berate me regarding a rosary tattoo I got to help me feel more spiritually grounded to an increasingly volatile work climate that affected me physically. Joss intentionally refused multiple calls from my agents, making it impossible to connect with him and tell him the news that I was pregnant. Finally, once Joss was appraised of the situation, he requested a meeting with me. In that closed-door meeting, he asked me if I was going to keep it and manipulatively weaponized my womanhood and faith against me. He proceeded to attack my character, mock my religious beliefs, accuse me of sabotaging the show, and then unceremoniously fired me following the season I gave birth. At 6 months pregnant, I was asked to report to work at 1 a.m. after my doctor recommended shortening my work hours. Due to long and physically demanding days and the emotional stress of having to defend my needs as a working pregnant woman, I began to experience Braxton Hicks contractions. It was clear to me the 1 a.m. call was retaliatory. Back then, I felt powerless and alone with no other option. I swallowed the mistreatment and carried on. After all, I had a baby on the way, and I was the primary breadwinner of my growing family. Unfortunately, all this was happening during one of the most wonderful times in new motherhood. All that promise and joy sucked right out, and Joss was the vampire. Despite the harassment, a part of me still sought his validation. I made excuses for his behavior and repressed my own pain. I have even stated publicly at conventions that I'd work with him again. Only recently, after years of therapy and a wake-up call from the Time's Up movement, do I understand the complexities of this demoralized thinking. It is impossible to understand the psyche without enduring the abuse. Our society and industry vilify the victims and glorify the abusers for their accomplishment. The onus is on the abused with the expectation to accept and adapt to be employable. No accountability on the transgressor who sails on unscathed, unrepentant, remorseless. These memories and more have weighed on my soul like bricks for nearly half of my life. I wish I'd said something sooner. I wish I'd had the composure and courage all those years ago, but I muted myself in shame and conditioned silence. With tears welling, I feel an overwhelming sense of responsibility to Ray and others for remaining private about my experience with Joss and the suffering it has caused me. It is abundantly evident that Joss has persisted in his harmful actions, continuing to create wreckage in his wake. My hope now, by finally coming forward with these experiences, is to create space for the healing of others who I know have experienced similar serialized abuses of power. Recently, I participated in Warner Media's Justice League investigation because I believe Ray to be a person of integrity who is telling the truth. His firing as Cyborg in The Flash was the last straw for me. Although I am not shocked, I am deeply pained by it. It troubles and saddens me that in 2021, professionals still have to choose between whistleblowing in the workplace and job security. It has taken me so long to muster the courage to make this statement publicly. The gravity of it is not lost on me. As a single mother whose family's livelihood is dependent on my craft, I'm scared. Despite my fear about its impact on my future, I can no longer remain silent. This is overdue and necessary. It is time. This largely sounds like Whedon made Carpenter's life fairly miserable on the set of Buffy and Angel. Harassing her for a weight seems particularly nasty, largely because Carpenter was pregnant. But also, just mocking someone for their weight is rather petty in and of itself. I'm a bit more sympathetic to Whedon's mockery of religion, probably because I'm not religious myself. Now, it is possible what Whedon did with regard to mocking a religion went too far. Or it was possible that Carpenter touted her religion very vocally, which from personal experience I've always found can get very annoying and oppressive. People also get wrapped up in their religion, and it can become a vital part of their identity. So even moderate mocking can be seen as a personal slight, or perhaps one wasn't intended. All of that being said, Whedon was the guy in charge. If Carpenter's religious belief interfered with the activities on set, he should ask her to tone it down. Otherwise, he needs to be the bigger person and simply shut up about it. So while I understand the instinct to mock a person for their belief in an invisible sky man, it does not mean such mockery should be done, and in fact, probably shouldn't be done, especially if it's clear you're offending the other person. What strikes me the most about this is that if Whedon had simply pulled her aside and explained that he didn't mean offense, and that he didn't mean to hurt her feelings, not only would Carpenter likely no longer hold resentment, she would likely also view Whedon in a positive light as a person capable of learning from his mistakes. The fact that he didn't do this means exactly two possibilities. He either didn't care that he hurt her feelings, or he's just a really shitty communicator. Carpenter's Buffy co-stars came out in support of the actress. Amber Benson tweeted, "Buffy was a toxic environment, and it starts at the top. Charisma Carpenter is speaking the truth, and I support her 100%. There was a lot of damage done during that time, and many of us are still processing it 20-plus years later. I stand with Ray Fisher. I stand with Charisma Carpenter." Sarah Michelle Gellar posted on her Instagram, "While I am proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers, I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon." Then she said she won't be making any more statements on the matter, since she is focused on raising her family during the pandemic, but also added, "I stand with all survivors of abuse, and I am proud of them for speaking out." In response to Gellar's post, Michelle Trachtenberg said, "Thank you, Sarah Michelle Gellar, for saying this. I am brave enough now as a 35-year-old woman to repost this because this must be known. As a teenager, with his not appropriate behavior, very not appropriate. So now people know what Joss did. The last comment I will make on this was there was a ruling saying he's not allowed in a room alone with Michelle again. Which sounds terrible and could range anywhere from sexual abuse to just not getting along. The imagination runs wild with a statement like that, and unfortunately we don't know what it means in the end." Eliza Dushku issued a statement. "My heart aches for you, and I am so sorry you held this for so long." Dushku wrote, "Your post was powerful, painful, and painted a picture we'll collectively never unsee or unknow. Thank you. I hadn't known it, and I won't forget it. May you and countless others feel the solidarity and connection you have likely missed for too long. From courage come change and hope. It starts and will end because of courageous truth tellers like you. I admire, respect, and love you. Profound healing can only come from naming and disclosing what actually happened, the necessary first step once someone's ready, to freeing ourselves from our secrets, untold truths which we have kept isolated, ashamed, and held hostage. Neglecting to name the power, gender, sexual, racial abuse epidemic, the entertainment industry, and for that matter, society in general, enables the abusers and only emboldens and ultimately fortifies abusive systems." Amy Acker tweeted, "I will always be proud of the work we all did on Angel. While I personally had a good and professional experience, it is heartbreaking to hear that not everyone did. I do not condone any actions that made anyone feel hurt or uncomfortable. I offer love and support to everyone who's speaking out to tell their truths." There are also many other statements from the cast of Buffy in support for Carpenter, with most statements lining up with Acker's to various degrees. Fuel was most recently added to this fire by Gal Gadot when she gave an interview for Israeli news outlet N12. Previously, there had been a report about how Whedon threatened Gadot when they had a disagreement about dialogue. The rumor is that Whedon essentially told Gadot to do as he said because he is the writer, and if he wants, he can make her sound stupid. At the time, Gadot simply said she had an issue with Whedon and took it to the higher-ups and they resolved the issue. In this interview, she confirms that and adds that Whedon also threatened her entire career over the issue. This brings us to the original story that broke about the abuses of Whedon, the most damning accusations and yet the least reliable, all at the same time. Here is the entire article for The Wrap, written by Whedon's ex-wife, Kai Cole. "I've been asked some questions by the press recently about my divorce from Joss Whedon, to whom I was married for 16 years. There is misinformation out there, and I feel the best way to clear up the situation is to tell my truth. Let me begin by saying I'm a very private person, and the act of writing this is antithetical to who I am and everything I stand for. Yet, at the same time, I feel compelled to go on the record and clear up some misperceptions. I don't think it's fair to me or other women to remain silent any longer. I met Joss in 1991. I was driving across the country from Massachusetts on a whim and met him when I was passing through Los Angeles. We fell in love and moved to LA so we could be together. I was with him when his Buffy the Vampire script was adapted and the resulting movie released. It was painful to see how his vision was interpreted by the production team, and on our honeymoon to England in 1995, I urged him to figure out how to turn it into a TV show. He didn't want to work in television anymore, following in his father's and grandfather's footsteps, but I convinced him that was the fastest way to get experience he needed, so he could direct his own film someday. I had no idea, in that lovely garden in Bath, that it would change everything. There were times in our relationship that I was uncomfortable with the attention Joss paid other women. He always had a lot of female friends, but he told me it was because his mother raised him as a feminist, so he just liked women better. He said he admired and respected females. He didn't lust after them. I believed him and trusted him. On the set of Buffy, Joss decided to have his first secret affair. 15 years later, when he was done with our marriage and finally ready to tell the truth, he wrote me, "When I was running Buffy, I was surrounded by beautiful, needy, aggressive young women. It felt like I had a disease, like something from a Greek myth. Suddenly, I am a powerful producer, and the world is laid out at my feet, and I can't touch it." But he did touch it. He said he understood I would have to lie or conceal some part of the truth for the rest of my life. But he did it anyway, hoping that first affair would be enough, and then he could move on and outlast it. Joss admitted for the next decade and a half, he hid multiple affairs and a number of inappropriate emotional ones that he had with his actresses, co-workers, fans, and friends, while he stayed married to me. He wrote me a letter when our marriage was falling apart, but I still didn't know the whole truth and said, I've never loved anyone or wanted to be with anyone in any real long-term way, except for you, ever. And I love our life. I love how you are, who you are, and what we've done both separately and together. How much fun we've had. He wanted it all. He didn't want to choose, so he accepted duality as part of his life. Then later, after he confessed everything to me, I let myself love you. I stopped worrying about the contradiction. As a guilty man, I knew the only way to hide was to act as though I was righteous. And as a husband, I wanted to be with you like we had been. I lived two lives. When he walked out of our marriage and was trying to make things seem less bewildering to help me understand how he could have lied to me for so long, he said, in many ways, I was the height of normal in this culture. We're taught to be providers and companions, and at the same time, to conquer and acquire, specifically sexually. And I was pulling off both. Despite understanding on some level that what he was doing was wrong, he never conceded the hypocrisy of being out in the world preaching feminist ideas while at the same time taking away my right to make the best choices for my life and my body based on the truth. He deceived me for 15 years so he could have everything he wanted. I believed, everyone believed, that he was one of the good guys committed to fighting for women's rights, committed to our marriage, and to the women that he worked with. But I now see how he used his relationship with me as a shield, both during and after our marriage, so no one would question his relationships with other women or scrutinize his writing as anything other than feminist. I thought we were a couple, a team. I was a powerful influence on the career choices Joss made during the 20 years we were together. We lived together for 4 years before marrying. I kept him grounded and helped him find the quickest way to the success he so deeply craved. I loved him, and in return, he lied to me. A lot. He said, after he left, he understood. It's not just like I killed you, but that I'd done it subtly over years. That I'd been poisoning you, chipping away at you. He made me doubt my own instincts and watched me move further away from my personal values and social mores, trying to connect with him, never telling me it was impossible. By the time he finally confessed the truth, 15 years after his first affair on the set of Buffy, I was broken. My brain could not fit my experience of our life together through the new lens of his deceit. My entire reality changed overnight, and I went from being a strong, confident woman to a confused, frightened mess. I was eventually diagnosed with complex PTSD, and for the last 5 years, I have worked hard to make sense of everything that happened and find my balance again. It has not been easy, because even though my personal life, I have been completely open about what happened, publicly, people only know his superficial presentation of us. Him as a lovable geek feminist, and me in the background as his wife and supporter. We're finally divorced. I'm doing architecture again, and slowly getting my life and self-esteem back together. Until recently, Joss was still letting the illusion of our marriage stay intact. Now that it is finally public, I want to let women know that he is not who he pretends to be. I want the people who worship him to know he is human, and the organizations giving him awards for his feminist work to think twice in the future about honoring a man who does not practice what he preaches. But no matter what happens or how people interpret this statement, I no longer have to carry the burden of Joss's long-term deceit and confessions. I am free. It's worth noting that this is the only allegation in which Whedon has given any response. It was from his spokesman and was simply, while this account includes inaccuracies and misrepresentations which can be harmful to their family, Joss is not commenting out of concern for his children and out of respect for his ex-wife. Taking all this into consideration, we do not have a clear picture of events that happened in a lot of these cases, but we can draw upon all that's been laid out here and see what type of person we are dealing with. It is clear what we have in Joss Whedon is a man who has likely let his ego get the better of him. If he gets along with you, you'll be fine working with him. However, if you don't get along with him, as people do from time to time, he'll be a dick about it. If he is unhappy about something, he'll communicate it by being obnoxious and childish. The idea that he won't be happy working on Justice League isn't shocking. It was rumored to be a project he didn't want to do, a project that he probably got paid a lot of money to do, and a project under heavy studio supervision and pressure to deliver something within their limits that Whedon was reportedly in a constant fight to improve. When it comes to Carpenter, it was likely he was mad he didn't learn about her pregnancy sooner and thought she was ignoring him, when the truth was, that wasn't an issue of her not telling him, but an issue of him not listening to her. As for the actresses who were uncomfortable around him, it is also possible and seemingly likely that they didn't communicate well with each other, and this led to awkward conversations and people flat out feeling awkward with one another, which does happen. Is Whedon a talented monster that hid in celebrity culture like Bill Cosby or Kevin Spacey? I think the clear answer is no. And it's worth noting, the allegation from Trachtenberg is incredibly troubling, but also incredibly vague. We don't know what's going on there at all. It's possible she just felt uncomfortable around Whedon. Some things to establish. There have been exactly zero Me Too allegations against Joss Whedon. Cole reports that he confessed to having numerous affairs with women during their marriage. Exactly zero of these women have come forward. Now, this is not to say these things can't exist, but the fact is, right now, Whedon is down. If someone were to come forward, this is the most likely time to do so. Liza Dushku, who I mentioned earlier, was a frequent collaborator with Whedon, even starring in his series Dollhouse. A couple years ago, she came forward with reports of sexual misconduct against Michael Weatherly from when she worked on the set of Bull. She has since seemed to stop working, and honestly, it looks as though she may have been blacklisted for coming forward, which is disgusting and a completely separate topic. But she clearly has no problems coming forward to report male co-workers of acting inappropriately, yet didn't say a word about Whedon. Even now that he is down, she has said she stands with those abused by Whedon, but also said that her working relationship with Whedon was perfectly fine. Back in 2019, a few months before this COVID madness, I went to the Cincinnati Comic Expo. There, I went to a Firefly reunion event. It involved Marina Baccarin, Alan Tudyk, Jewel Strait, and Sean Meyer. One of the questions asked of them was, if they could work with Whedon on any of his projects of their choosing, what would it be? Marr and Strait both thought about being Avengers, Bruce Banner and Black Widow respectively. However, Tudyk and Baccarin had pretty much identical answers. They wanted to be the male and female leads on whatever show he was currently working on. That show is The Nevers, and it didn't seem like they really knew anything about it. It truly seemed like they were just on board for working with Whedon again at that very moment. Now, this is not an attempt to excuse Whedon. I believe the allegations against him. What we are dealing with in Whedon appears to be a man who doesn't handle confrontation or even awkward situations well. If things are going well, it seems like everyone is happy and no one has any real issues. Reports from the Firefly set are all rather positive, with it looking like the cast and the crew had fun. Some of the best commentary tracks on that series are from Whedon and Fillion. Whedon would provide production details, and Fillion would goof around and tell jokes, and the balance worked perfectly. No one from Firefly has accused Whedon of anything or stated their stance on this whole situation. Most recently, after Whedon stepped down from The Nevers, star Laura Donnelly said she was sad to see him go and had a wonderful time working with him. And it is certainly understandable that he won't be as good to work with when under high stress. But at the same time, as a leader in production, it's part of his job not to let those stresses bleed through to the people under him. As I've said before, it simply seems as though Whedon doesn't handle stress or awkwardness well and manages to make things worse instead of better. Instead of conversing with people and explaining himself when he does poorly or attempting to break tensions, he appears to shut down and openly mock them or threaten them, exactly the opposite of what he should be doing. It's worth noting that Fisher, one of the most outspoken critics of Whedon, seems to have changed his rhetoric towards Whedon in his later tweets, seemingly to point out how it seems as though Warner is trying to use him as a scapegoat to protect what might very well be a very toxic culture at the company. So no, he's not a monster, but he is a dysfunctional person when unhappy, which honestly we all are. But rather than try to make up for his bad behavior, he just seems to make things worse. So at the end of the day, the conclusion seems to be nothing more than Whedon is a giant jerk, and perhaps a giant jerk who is being thrown under the bus to protect those more powerful than him from similar, if not greater, abuses. And it seems clear the real question we have to ask ourselves is, why are these people capable of just acting horribly and being elevated in our society? I want to go ahead and add some audio credits at the end here. The theme music you're hearing at the beginning and end of this podcast was written and performed by George Johnson, a very good friend of mine. And my current Patreons are Fel Martins, David Lara, and Lindsay Pankhurst. If you'd like to become a patron, go ahead and follow the link down below. Anything you can provide would be incredibly helpful to this channel. We're barely limping by right now. I'd love to make this my full-time job, but I'm miles away from that right now. So any help you could provide, just $1 a month would be amazing. You know you want to. All your friends are doing it.